Okay, we're going to take the third and the fourth chapter together. This morning we talk about prayer. And I want to just piece the two chapters together. In fact, piece all the four chapters together if you can understand it. And then, try to apply it into your own thought, your own life. I think that might be helpful, right? So we all make plans after the conference, we make plans, and the plans will vary from person to person. Well, we all understand the whole idea of we have a great plan of God, right? When God plans things, remember, He predestines. Now, it doesn't mean we've got no choice. This will tell you how God plans things, right? And so He looks at mankind. And he realizes man is in trouble because of sin. And because man is in, when the word man, this is the human being, okay? Now, because he is in sin, he becomes spiritually dead. Right? So because he's like that, he is given to sin, he becomes a very stubborn person, rebellious all the time. That's a real problem. Constantly he will rebel and he will go against. Right? So plan number one, the first level, the first thing he needs to do, that's very obvious. And this is where we look at it and we say, plan number one, right, is called reconciliation one. So he offers reconciliation to everybody at the individual personal level, right? But then we would have a lot of scattered Christians all over the world. That's very untidy work. Obviously, there has to be a plan to follow up with plan one. And so we have reconciliation two. And this plan was huge because it is a global plan. Now, this is what we are trying to read when you read Ephesians 1 and 2, right? I hope this becomes a little clearer along the way. So now the global plan begins with 1, goes to 2, right? Now the question is how to understand this, all of this part of what is God doing? And remember, there is a huge reconciliation work going on all the time. And now, watch this how. So, in God's plan, we see a number of things, okay? And this is important for us to understand why we call it predestination, because when God plans, it's not like man planning. He will see it through, and He will do it. So, one of the things that we ask ourselves, what is it involved? How does it work? And so, we take a look at what Paul was praying about. Chapter 3, and he prays a very good prayer that helps us to understand where he's coming from. Okay? Now, he has given to us a number of things. So we look at it, say, one, okay? God offers this and his workmanship. Now, this workmanship is also one and two, because first level is at personal level. But there is a greater plan that talks about this level because this is a global level. Obviously, you need a global work too. And this is where it's more than the personal. The question is how to fit in. And we call this the church. Right? But the church is not 301 here. It is global. It is bigger than you imagine. Right? And this is absolutely wonderful because when we are looking at things, we are looking at very carefully, we ask ourselves, how do we? And so very wisely, we are looking at two parts, God's part and man's part. Right? So God's part becomes very obvious. He will do all these things. Now, one of the important things that God does is one, He will provide. Right? God's provision is very, very clear as to what that is. God's provision goes all the way. The individual, the global. Now watch this, Lord's provision all the way through. All right? So then we take a look at what God provides and we stand absolutely amazed. At all. So on page 3, if your notes here, on this morning's one, which we didn't quite go through, one of the things that God gives is this, okay? And in under point D, this is God's provision, grace gifts, right? So we read, and in verse 31, verse 11, we read, He gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And so this is where God provides, so that you will no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with all kinds of doctrine, right? By people will trick you for all kinds of things, cunning, craftiness, of deceitful plotting, and so on and so forth, right? Now, this is very important. Look at verse 16, from whom the whole body, right, joined and knit together by every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. What is that all about? This is part of God's provision. When God plans something, He will provide for it, right? So what does He do is to provide, in this case here, a whole list of people, and these are all gifts. Remember, a gift is not just simply an abstract thing. A gift can simply be a person or an office or a special ability. So gifts can come in different forms. And, you know, you can be a very gifted person, and there you are. You can be in a particular office, pastors, teachers, prophets, evangelists, and there we go. Right? Or you can have very special talents. You can do music. You can do a lot of other things. And all of these things are there, and they are all valid. But this is all under God's provision. So that's how we understand the work of God. It is something that when God plans something, He provides for that thing. And He provides marvelously. So the people who are in this position will then be, they'll need to train people. Right? In this case here, mention children. Yourself. Right? We don't want you to end up with, you know, you believe this, you believe that, all kinds of things are believed. There we go. So that we can look at these things here. Right? So in verse 14, we read, no longer children, tossed to and fro. Right? Some people teach you this, you think that's good. Some people teach you that, you think that's good. And you are at the mercy of whatever it is that is being taught, and you will be in danger. So what God does, obviously, is to provide. Right? Provide people who will care for you, people who will do all of these things here, and the provision is there. Right? So now, as you grow up and you are well taught, then you will be able to grow up into all things. That is the whole church in growth. Right? So when we first started out in church, we were 25 people. We were one quarter of 100 people here. Right? That's where we started. We don't have very many people. And then over the years, remember the commitment, watch this. We watch God's plan. We look at God's provision. We believe God will provide. And we believe in what we are doing. We train people. We equip people. We help people. We help you to grow. And as you grow, watch, then you are able to help others to grow. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So this is how this pattern of things work. This is God's way of doing things. And our part is to recognize it, study the scriptures, understand it, recognize it, put it into practice. And there we have the church growing all the time. That is what we have been doing as a church. So here comes somebody on the outside and a person says, you know, you come and follow me. I'll teach you this and that. What do you do? And we say, thanks, no thanks. We don't want to see because we are seeing something with our eyes. We understand it. This is God's plan. This is God's provision. These are God's people. We know them. We see them. We understand them. Then we have all kinds of things coming up, and then we have a real problem. Now, a lot of times happen. A lot of times things happen. And people can come from inside or outside, wherever they may come from. And they try to provide some other alternative, some other plan. And that's where things go wrong. That's why we want to do all these things so that you know why we're doing what we are doing. Right? Why are you here? So that you will no longer stay as children. No point being a baby Christian all your life. Right? When do you come to believe in the Lord Jesus? When I was 13 years old. 10 years later, what do you know? I only remember 13 years ago what I said, what I did. 10 years later, you're still a baby. Look, it would be a nightmare if you have a baby all the time. You remember you grow so cute, so cute. You can say for a while, so cute, so cute. 1 year later, still the same. You send to hospital. 10 years later, still the same. Now we are in trouble. Obviously, something's wrong. Right? So we want to watch how this works out. And this is all part of God's plan. Now, you just got to watch spirit. So there is plan number one, reconcile. But it is not all of God's plan. That is the second part. God is growing into this. Right? So you ask yourself, where do I fit in? And in so many ways you can fit. But before you can do anything, if you don't grow, you'll be a child. And you'll be, if you are childish in your faith, what can you do? Can't. You know, I'm just so glad to see, right now I look at Olivia here. I'm just happy to see her here. Another year's time, you won't be calling her. You'll be calling her Dr. Olivia. One more year and she will graduate and she will be, don't forget and come back to be our camp doctor. Okay? Not that she will have time for the first few years, but you know. I mean, can you see? There she is. She's growing up. She was here since, remember, years ago, I have not been attending a youth conference for so long, and I just want to be here. I mean, that is just wonderful to see, you know. Right? And then I saw Elizabeth coming along, and, it's just wonderful. And she comes all the way from Australia, and there she is, and, you know, going to have half a chance she'll come back. And of course, she will work there later on. But, you know, it's just a joy to see. So it's not just simply you're stuck to church. Can you become somebody as well? Yes. And next to Olivia, up-and-coming marine biologist. Wow. We don't know what she can become. I mean, it doesn't mean that just because you are stuck in the church, therefore you will only be a church mouse. No, you're not. Look at what we are having. Of course, don't forget, his lordship came from here too. But look at him now. You see, he will argue your head out. I hope you understand. See, but the point of it all is no matter how far you succeed, no matter how well you do, your heart is still here, church. Do you understand what I'm trying to get at? So it doesn't mean that just because you're a church, therefore you are restricted, you can't do anything, you can't get anywhere, you can't succeed. That's not true. But where is your heart? And you find, it's very obvious, heart with the Lord and with the church. And as the church grows, you begin to realize, you know, I want to be part of the church. I want to be part of God's plan. This is part of God's plan. Right? Because this is part of God's plan too. And He wants to build. It will take all of us, different people all over the place, and then we all come together with our different talents, and that's where beauty of it all. We look at all the different multiple gifts that God has given to us. Somebody asked a question, but Pastor, what if I got a weird gift? There's no such thing as a weird gift. If you, right? So you cannot be a weird person. Now, if I were to come suddenly, with tongue hairstyle, okay, so tomorrow I'm coming with green and purple and orange and black pink. Now, tell me how many of you will concentrate on what I'm going to say? You won't be able to concentrate. Right? So I just want to be here as normal as I can and then speak to you. The key word, our focus is to help you to grow. Right? And every chance, if you can be a successful doctor, we are happy for you, proud of you. Right? You can get into trouble and you need a doctor, needs a lawyer, then we got lawyers to help you. And you cannot arrange your business, we have accountants to help you. What else? The only profession we don't have is the undertaker. You know what's an undertaker? Right? Person who arranges your funeral. Now, that's about the only one that we don't have. But listen, it is all right to be anything you want to be. It doesn't mean you can't succeed just because you are a dedicated Christian. Many people feel, if I'm a Christian, then I cannot be this, I cannot be that, I cannot do this, I cannot laugh. Says who? Of course you can laugh. Well, I cannot have emotions, I cannot be attached. Says why? What are you talking about? Right? Now, think about these things here. A lot of times, people misunderstand Christianity, and that is where the problem goes. But what are those grace gifts for? Let's say that Gabriel is very gifted. Where is his audience? He just plays for himself. Morning, he gets up, he plays for himself. Afternoon, he gets up, he goes on, he plays for himself. At night, he plays himself to sleep. And then he gets up in the morning, he plays for himself again. We won't know what he's talking about. We don't know what he's saying, right? Only God will understand him. But you see, gifts are not like that. They are meant to benefit others. That is the whole point that we give. If God has given you a gift, use that gift. Develop the gift. But remember, no gift must remain where it is. It must be there. It must be utilized properly. You have to equip yourself, you need to be trained, and this is very important. Okay, now, what is the big problem most of the time? Now, some of you already, what about after your conference? What if I go slump? See, you're thinking is slump. I don't. Why can't we just, hey, I'm going to look forward to the next youth camp, youth conference, and I'm going to grow further. And then next year, I'm going to grow further. But we're already worried, after the youth conference, I'm going to slump. You are already preparing for slump. If you're going to prepare for slump, you're sunk. Right? Think about these things here. And you want to ask yourself very, very carefully, how can we avoid this thing? And this is this afternoon's lesson, right? Look at 3rd December, and we are trying. I'm just trying to help you because tomorrow's ending, and I just want to help you to think about what we can do, right? Let's look at it very, very carefully and look at on page one on your thing here, and this has to do with the old man and the new man concept, that this is important for us, first and foremost. Right? If you want to succeed, let's say you don't want to backslide, you don't want to go back, you have to decide. Right? you have to determine, I am not going back. That's very obvious. Okay? I mean, if you think about this very, very carefully, if you have had a bad experience, okay? Now, if a person has gone to, if you've done something bad, and it's so bad, you have to go, like this man, Mr. Sim, it was too late to change things, but, you know, he really did a lot of bad things. And, you know, I was asking him, if you had a chance to go back to the old ways, would you do it? And he said, no. It was because I didn't know. Nobody taught me. No, I didn't know about God. I don't know about faith. I don't know about church. That's why all I had was bad friends. So I dropped out of school. I dropped out of school after primary six. I'm gone. What did I learn? Street things. I fight with people. I became a gangster. I became part of a gang. I fight with people all the time. I end up in jail. From 17 years old, he was in jail until he was 34. 17, half his life was in jail. Would he go back? Then he said, never. Never will he go back. Now that is important. You see, so you have to determine, do you want to go back to your old ways? Right? If you have a chance to be hardworking and to be lazy, would you go back to lazy ways? And the answer must be, you have to decide, no. If there are sinful ways, would you say no to them? You've got to decide on this matter here, right? Then this is where Paul says, I say to you, right? This is very important, Ephesians 4, 17 and 19. I say to you, I test it, no longer walk in the ways of the Gentiles, the futility of their mind, and the understanding darkened. See, why are people so drawn to the world? Why are they so affected? And the answer is very obvious. Right? Because of all these things. Number one, look at this. The mind is thinking futile thoughts. You know what's futility? It will come to nothing. Right? I mean, you just think about if all the things we do will end up with futility, why are you following that which is going to be empty? That makes no sense. Right? So we just got to put away the futility of our mind. Okay, that's one. Two, here we go. We talk about darkness this month of November, December. Yeah? We've got to say the understanding darkened has got to be out. If our understanding remains darkened, you can't see the light. And that's why what happens. When people can't see the light, they remain in darkness. They can't see, they cannot appreciate what is the light. Then we go on. Worse than that, their life is cut off from God. You cannot sustain this life seriously. This life has to be either with God or it becomes alienated. And then there's a problem of ignorance. There's a problem of blindness. Worse, past feeling. You don't care anymore. Now, if you are in this state, what should you do? To me, I want out. Who wants to live a life like that? It is just one way, literally, all the way, one way down the street to hell. Why would I want to walk there? You understand what I'm trying to say? Right? This is reconciliation plan 1 and 2. They work in tandem. God wants to do this individually and as a church. That's what we do. We want to continue with God's work, helping people to be reconciled to God. Right? Because we see so many people's lives. We see so many young lives like your own. Just ask yourself honestly, right? What are you doing? The plans that you have, futile, aren't they? See, a lot of people, a lot of plans end up in futility. If our lives, our plans are always going to end up with futility, aren't we wasting our time? Aren't we going to waste our life? Right? Understanding darkened. How to see? Can't see. So we carry on doing what we are doing. Come on, this is just darkness. Why are we choosing darkness. That really makes absolutely no sense. And this is the life of God that he wants to give, but we are alienated. So we are cut off. Remember, they all get worse after a while until you are past feeling. Frankly, you don't care anymore. Now, you could be already in that state if you're not careful. And if you are past feeling, nothing will reach you. Now, you have to determine, that's not for me. I'm out of that. That's what God wants the church to do, to help people to get out, to be reconciled to God, one, and two, help people to stay reconciled. This is to stay reconciled. You can start with being reconciled and then end up with rebellion. This is why we organize these things, conferences and so on and so forth, Christmas program and other things. What are we doing? So that people can stay reconciled to God in every sense of the word. So what do we need to do? And it's vital for us to think about these things here. Right? And so we go to point B. And so the thing is, you got to put off concerning your former conduct. Now, this one is something you have to decide. I am going to put this off. That is the important thing. Now, you have to decide on it, and you say, I want to put away my former conduct, the old man, because it grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And that's how it is. It gets worse and worse. But I cannot do this for you. We cannot impose a law. We cannot tell you this is what the church commands. We can't. This is for you to decide. Right? So it's up to you to decide what you want to do with your life. We can advise you. We can give you guidance. We can run alongside. But you have to decide. Right? So look at your conduct. Look at your conduct seriously. This is called the former conduct. You know, and Paul calls it this way. It's like as if there is an old person inside you. There is an old person inside you. That's, put yourself, this is your old you. Right? Now, you look at all these things here. So because A and B are connected. Right? So God wants you to be reconciled to him. But you got to stay reconciled. But remember, this conduct, you're only where you are. You think you won't get worse, and that's it. No, you will get worse. Things don't get better by themselves. They will get worse by themselves. Anything that is not in use will spoil. Anything that is abused, sure spoil. Right? Now, if you don't attend to all these things here, the old person that is you, you watch yourself. You will see yourself going down and down and down all the time. When are you going to wake up and say, stop? You can't stop yourself. You need God's reconciliation work. Remember, God provides. And Paul talks about prayer. It talks about power. Right? So you can pray, Lord, give me the strength. All right, help me to overcome this. And God's strength can be working inside you to overcome. But if God's strength is not inside you to overcome, part of Paul's prayer, I'll tell you this, you're going to fail. You're going to find that you can't make it. That's why a lot of people fear. What happens tomorrow after we conclude? We're high today, tomorrow we go back to flat. You don't have to. Right? If you feel a car with full of oil, you know, if it goes flat next hour, chances are there's a hole somewhere. Obviously, it can't just go off like that. It's something's wrong somewhere. So you need to fix it. You need to go down to the mechanic and say, now what's wrong? There's something wrong. The question is, what do you want to do? Can you start? And this is where Paul teaches us how you can do this. So this is a wonderful plan of God. God not only provides, now he goes further.
Now look at this. Put on the new man. See, page 3. Think about this. Right? So there is an old man kind of concept, and there is a new man kind of concept, and you have to ask yourself, what is the new man? Okay? Now, this has to do with your mind. But Paul calls it the spirit of your mind. Now, your brain is your brain. A brain is just a mess. Right? That's it. The brain cells. You know, everything is made of cells anyway. The brain cells. But what is the spirit of your mind? It is not just simply your brain cells at work. It is the new person that God wants to create in you, and He's trying to teach you how to use that mind. Now, we call it the spirit of the mind because it involves the mind. All right? So how do I make my spirit stronger? So you say my will is weak. How do I make my spirit stronger? Now, you've got to understand this. It's not just, you know, I'm not born clever. It's nothing to do with clever and not clever. It has to do with what we call the spirit of the mind. Now, this is very important. Okay? It has to be renewed. All right? That's one. Watch how it works. Right? So you got to put on the new man which was created to God. Now, this is His workmanship. Right? So when we talk about God's workmanship, is God going to change your face? No. Is God going to change the external part of you? No. What God is going to do is to change the inside part of you. We call the spirit of the person. And this spirit of the person, you will find it affecting your mind. You will think differently. You will understand things differently. Right? This is what we are looking at. You put on this new man. Right? So God has created this new person to be put inside you, and it is created according to God's plan. That's the idea. God's design. And it is in true righteousness and holiness. So you find yourself, suddenly God has placed inside you a sense of true righteousness and holiness. You know, you find yourself, listen, I don't want to do with all those stuff anymore. I don't want to put, this is all the other stuff, it's just the old stuff. And you recognize them. You recognize the old man, you know, and look at it and say, nope, that's not for me. Nope, that's not for me. Nope, that's not for me. That's a pass. I'm out. I want to look at this new man that is coming, and I want to develop it as much as I possibly can. All right? So there we go. In the past, what happens? Maybe there's lying or gossiping. Right? We don't. We speak truth now. Right? Anger is a part of natural human emotions. We may be angry for a moment, but we don't sin. Can we see this? Right? So we don't enter into wrathful states, but neither do we give place to the devil. Now, these are important things for us to understand. So if we were to get down to the brass tacks, and you get down to how do I develop my faith in life? Now, it's possible, right? So you're asking me, do I have a mentor when I was younger? Unfortunately, no. So what did I do? I wrongly stumbled all the time. It took me a long time to grow. It should have been straightforward, but no, I went all over the place, around the world in 80 ways. Not days, ways. What, all over the place, all kinds of things here, and I began to realize it's nonsense. Stop. Go back to understanding. What's the best thing to do? Read the scriptures. 2, review the scriptures. 3, literally, I remember the scriptures. I memorize scriptures. Right? Now, think about all these things here. Now, all of these things will lead to I find myself renewed all the time. I'm just trying to share with you what you want me to share with you, how I live my life. It's not a secret. There's no pastoral button, you know. You press, press P. You know, and old pastor, press OP. There is no such button. It's just all of us the same thing. We have to do that. I still have to read the scriptures. I need to understand what I'm reading. I need to remember the things here. I need to find myself renewed. But I find myself able to be renewed all the time. Same thing will happen to you. So we go back to Paul's prayer. Right? So he says, I bow my knees before to God the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? And he prays that we might be strengthened. He prays that we might have strength in the inner man. See, this inner man is this new man we're talking about. Right? So you combine the prayer part of it. So that is God's plan. Now, all of these things are there, and it's very, very clear. The question is whether you want to follow through. But it's up to you. Well, God cannot tell you what to do as in the case of forcing you. He's not going to force anyone. But he will just simply tell you, this is how you can go about it. Right? So this is important for us to understand. So can I practice this and then find myself growing all the time? The answer is yes. And when you put it into practice like this, then you begin to realize that you are fitting into God's plan. And God can place you. Okay, you are here. Now, I can use you here. I can use you there. Yeah, you can do this here. You can do this here. And you are constantly growing all the time. Now, it doesn't mean that you all end up being pastors, no. Or you end up being working in a church, no. You can have your own life. And you will see the Lord's blessing in your own life. Right now, in your young days right now, that you want to go and study, and you want to become whatever you want to become, can God help you? There's a part of you that wants to be the greatest engineer on earth. Can God help you? Yes. Right? Can God help you to be an architect? Can God help you to be an accountant? Can God, whatever it is you are going to set your heart on, that's your professional life. Can God help you? Yes. But you can succeed in every single area. But if spiritually you fail, it could end up with futility. Right? So you can succeed. So you can be wealthy. You can be influential. You can be well-known. But spiritually, you're just darkened and dead. What's the big deal? The challenge is to have both. Can I succeed in my professional life? At the same time, can I have a wonderful spiritual life? At the same time, answer, yes. If we gear ourselves properly, if we understand God's plan, if we understand reconciliation 1 and 2, and put the two together, then we understand God's plan. Right? But what is stopping us, essentially, is the problem. We don't know what to do with our old self. Right? Now, that's a whole big problem. So when we don't know what to do with our old self, we keep on repeating the same old mistakes. Right? And thus we find ourselves spiritually just unable to go and grow further. That is the big problem. Am I making sense to you? Right? So it's a question of wanting to grow. Can we learn? Can we grow along these lines? And the big decision is simply yours. Right? How can I become a better person? How can I become a more meaningful person? The question is, how do I see God's plan? Then the Lord will say, I can't see God's plan. Of course you can. I'm just showing to you what God's plan is. And God's plan is not for you to live a selfish life. God's plan is not for you to live a futile life. All right, what's the point of you doing all of these things here and then you end up with futility? What's the big deal? Seriously. That is the big issue. What is the big deal? And we have to think about how we want to look at our life. Can we succeed in life? Yes. Does God want you to be a spiritual success only and then you'll be a failure? No. Think about these things here. So when we think about God's plan, please do not think that God's plan is only the church and then your own personal life is going to be a mess. No, it's not meant to be like that. Right? So you look at this thing very carefully. And if you apply it carefully into looking at the details, you begin to realize, you know what? Can I be a better student? Yes. If you are willing to deal with the old man and put it to death. Can you do that? Can you be a better scholar? Yes. Can you be a more dedicated person? Yes. Can you be a more faithful person? Yes. Can you be a more fruitful person? Yes. Can you be a better behaved person? Absolutely. That is all possible. But remember, what's stopping us is the battle between the old man and the new man. It's your old, that's the nature of it all. You're fighting, your biggest fight is not against God, it's yourself. You're fighting yourself all the time, being tempted. Well, when I ask myself, why am I being tempted? Why am I being tempted by the world? So I ask myself, am I tempted by, all these things, color, black, pink, or is it purple, red? Whatever. Frankly, I mean, there are lots of all these things out there. Am I, I am so glad I'm out of that. First, I'm out of that age. See, people are saying, oh, you don't know what it means to be young. I know what it means to be young. I don't want to be. Thank you very much. I want to be where I am. I want to be able to look back at it and say, thank you, the past, it's over. Sigh of relief. But here you are, young people, where you are. You got everything. And the world will tell you, enjoy. You know, this is your life. This is your chance. Now, go ahead, do it. And if you're not careful, you're going to be drawn and sucked in by that kind of thinking. You know, this is your own day. It only happens once. Of course, today is Wednesday. Tomorrow will be Thursday. Then when Thursday comes, Thursday will not Friday. Every day is the same. We are just being fooled by that kind of thinking. Right? And so you must do it now because there's no next time. So you do it now. Everything now, now, now. And now you get caught up with it and get gone. Why? This happens all the time. You know, and it's like a gold rush thing. Everybody going rush into it, and then you end up with nothing. Don't fool yourself. Remember the principle: what you sow, you reap. Right? So let's say you set your heart and you say, "Well, I want to develop my personal life. I want to develop my spiritual life with God. I want to develop my faith with God. I want to know God better. Can God help me?" Yes. Will your other areas of life improve? Absolutely. Well, try it. You commit in prayer to God, right? I really want to be a better student, but are you prepared to work hard at it? And the answer is yes. If you want to work, can God help you to improve? Absolutely. Did God help you to have everything, improve in every single area of life? Try it out. Otherwise, you're in danger. If you don't get enough good grades, you cannot go to the school you desire, that you would like to be, though. And then you keep on going down all the time. See, that's the danger that we're looking at. That's what Paul is trying. But the language of the Bible is old man, new man. Now, old way, new way. Now you choose. Do you want to use the old way? You can. But you are going to remember, whatever you sow, that is what you're going to reap. If you sow 10%, what would you reap? 10%. Obviously, if you reap, you sow in 100%, you sow to the Spirit, you will reap life eternal. That is the Lord's promise. So when I look at the Lord's plan, and I look at God's plan, and I look at my plan, you ask me how I would choose. Of course I choose God's plan. Before I choose my own plan, it's a stupid plan. And look at myself. How stupid can I be? El stupido. Right? Come on, why would I want to choose my own plan for? You know yourself. You know where you are going, the direction. You know you're going to hit the wall. Then you just go, and then I hit the wall. What is madness? Madness is to hit the wall a second time. What is insanity? Do the same. Why? Seriously, why? And this is a new way out. The Lord's way, right? But the Lord's way is like anything here. If you really want to do it, if you really want to be a champion, then you have to look at it very carefully. How do you do this? Seriously, I was watching a documentary once of a person. He's a scrawny fellow, and he said inside him, he wants to learn to do boxing. So he tries very hard. All the time, every fight he gets, fail, lose, knockout. Until he found one person, an old guy, old fighter. And he says, you want me to train you? He says, look, I've got no money to pay you. I'm not asking you for money, but I see you a possibility of becoming a really good boxer. Would you like to be one? He says, but you've got to listen to everything I say, okay? And you got to keep this strict regime that I'm going to get to you. You either do it or you don't. You decide, right? I will decide what you eat, what time you get up, where you go, everything. I will be your mentor. Are you prepared? Look, the man has tried every way to fight. He lose every single fight. Right? So that's his old way. Now here comes a new way. Now, do you want it? You say, okay. He says, first, I'll tell you where you are, why your problem. You've got no stamina. Hey, no stamina. I didn't realize that. I thought it's just boxing. Without stamina, how are you going to box? You can't. You have no idea how tiring it is until you get into the boxing ring. Then you realize 3 rounds, 3 minutes each, just 9 minutes with 1 or 2 minutes in between like that. It is terribly exhausting. You don't even realize this until you get into a fight like this. Then you begin to, wow. He said, first, stamina. So how to develop stamina? Run. Run, no problem. Really? No problem, huh? Okay, good. I'll see you at 3 o'clock in the morning. So he began road running. Every morning from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock, he will run. Rain or shine, run. Then he realized how out of stamina he was. One aspect. Okay? Now, I need you to eat properly. You cannot eat what you like, hamburger and chips and all that kind of stuff. That kind of thing and stuff is going to kill you. You don't eat, you eat properly. Strength. The next part of it, strength that he built. The third part of it, technique. So he began to teach him how to really box properly. It took him a year and a half of strict training every day. When to rest, what to eat, how much to sleep, no, absolutely nothing else. His just whole life. All his friends say, you're silly, you're wasting your time. We go to the bar, we drink, we're happy, and here you are, slaving away. And he's going to say, no, I know what I'm doing. And so he trained, and he trained, and he trained 1.5 years later. They began to put him into fights. And all the time, he was winning bout after bout, bout after bout, one after the other. And he became, in his weight range, he became literally one of those few undefeated champions. See, that's how we can be. We were meant to be victors. But you cannot do it. Do you know why you fail? You got no stamina. You have no strength. You have no technique. You don't know how to battle. You don't know how to fight. And you just try your best. I guarantee you, fail. You need someone to train you. Right? Olivia, I want to be a doctor. I just read some medical books. Then said, I'm now a surgeon. Hello, wake up. I also can. Right? Let me think about these things. Yeah, you got to be kidding. And so I remember her. I remember one person years ago. He says, Pastor, I want to be a doctor when I grow up. They say, oh, good for you. So one day he was at my house. Where I was living in Seletar Hills, a rented place. And then there were some boys who came to my place. One person fell down. They were riding bicycle, one person, and I'm a first aider. I help people with, you know, bruises and cuts and things like that. So I was cleaning up his wounds and all that, and then I heard a thump. Hey, how come? Did the bicycle fall down? No, the person who brought him fell down. He fainted. Why? He saw blood. And he's going to be a doctor. I told him, please don't. Well, he did become a doctor, a different kind, but not a medical one. I mean, seriously, I hope you understand. But God wants to bless you because you want to choose to walk his way, and he will bless. And that's your life. Now, you choose this afternoon. You choose. Tell me, how would you choose? Right? If I were you, I would say to the old man, get out. New man, come in. I want to develop this new man. And I will take whatever you tell me to take. And if you are prepared for that, and you will succeed. Remember, it is not just being a success in church, it's being wherever you are, wherever you may be. And you can succeed. Think about this. Okay? Well, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the challenge to look at our life properly. That we recognize that there are just so many areas of weaknesses and problems in our life. We pray that you will help us to look at ourselves and look at the slippery path that we are on. And this afternoon to decide that we want to put to death the old person that is inside us, the old ways, the old sinful ways. Lord, help us to be reconciled to you. Help us to be reconciled to you at the first level and also at the second. We pray that you will do something special in our life. We pray that you will help us to truly come to you, to draw near to you, because all of these things are made possible. We pray for your grace and your wisdom, your mercy. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.